Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Meditation in the Word of God provides that still point in a turning world. Today, teaching from the book of Joshua on how meditation in the Word of God can give us inner resources to face whatever comes our way. How still is your heart as you run your race? From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, in his series on Disciplines That Grow Godliness, Pastor Lutzer is teaching about the discipline of meditation. We're in Joshua chapter 1, where meditation first cleanses and then calms Joshua's mind.
Notice that the text uses that word courage a number of different times. It says in verse 7, "Only be strong and very courageous." And then it goes on to say in verse 9, "Have not I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed." In other words, let your inner world be calm. Be an island of tranquility, even if you are in the midst of an ocean of turbulence. Be tranquil. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Rivet your mind on God so that no matter what happens to your ship, you know that your heart is always at port. Calmness. How does the Word of God do that? Well, one of the things that the Word of God does is it stimulates faith. It causes faith to grow. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And our great need, my great need, your great need is always faith. Always faith. One day, Peter decided to walk and to go to Jesus, you remember, in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus was walking on the water, so he said, "I want to walk on the water." And Jesus said, "Come," which was a very blessed request that Peter gave. He says, "May I come?" And Jesus said, "Yes," an invitation that was very beautiful. And Peter walks on the water to go to Jesus. And then the Bible says that he saw the wind and the waves, that it was boisterous. And beginning to look at them, he began to sink, saying, "Lord, save me, I perish." And Jesus scooped him up out of the water and said, "Now, why is it that you were doubting?" Now, I can imagine that there'd be somebody there with a scientific mind who'd say to himself, "You know what we need to do? We need to analyze the predicament that Peter was in. What we should do is to try to estimate the speed of the wind and do a study of the relationship between the speed of the wind and the height of the waves." I want to tell you today that the real problem that Peter faced was not the height of the waves or the speed of the wind. The wind could have even been greater, the waves could have been higher, and that was not the issue. The issue ultimately was faith, whether he was believing Christ when he was walking. And that always is your problem and mine. Because you and I can go down under the slightest wind and under the smallest wave, unless we look at Christ. And if we look at him, we can endure the biggest wind and the highest wave. Our problem is always faith. And if Joshua wanted to be able to walk around Jericho without being overcome and have the courage that the Word of God says he can have, be courageous, he needed to focus on God. And the Word of God, the law of God, would generate faith in his heart. It would also give him that sense of perspective. It would help him to see the big picture, because you and I oftentimes become so preoccupied with the present pain, we can't see what God is doing throughout the whole spectrum. And the difference is between a Polaroid and a movie. The Bible allows us to see the bigger picture as to what God is doing. So the Word of God was going to cleanse Joshua's mind. It would calm his mind. And you might now expect another C here. It would commit his mind. Notice that the text says that thou mayest observe to do according to everything that is written therein. Joshua, if you're going to have the strength to do the Word of God, you're going to have to meditate in the Word of God. This cannot be an on and off idea. There must be a commitment to meditation in the Word to do, because he had lots to do. God says, "Joshua, I want you to rise up." And then he says, "I want you to walk throughout the land, and I want you to stand against the enemy." And you're not going to do that unless you've got a lot of courage and a lot of strength, and unless your inner man is taken care of and is secure in the midst of all of these problems that are so much bigger than you are. And so the Lord says, "Joshua, even if the giants don't become smaller, even if the walls don't become shorter, then what you can do is to recognize that you will still have your heart fixed on God. And so that's what Joshua was supposed to do. Well, you say, Pastor Luther, if meditation really does bring this about, what is meditation? I hope that you would ask that. I was kind of wishing that you would, and I appreciate the fact that you've done that. So let's spend a moment meditating on the word meditation. Now, meditation is not Eastern meditation, where they give you a word and then they ask you to blank out your mind and think about nothing. You know, it's difficult to think about nothing, and yet in transcendental meditation, that's what they want you to do. They will even give you a word that maybe doesn't make sense to you so that you think about nothing. The ultimate purpose is, by the way, the destruction of the mind, that you might not think about anything concrete, only that your mind might become open, and it is then that you have that transformation, that contact with spirits, evil spirits that bring about that transformation of consciousness. That's not what we're talking about. Biblical meditation says, I am going to think about the content of God and His Word. I'm going to think very specific thoughts. I'm going to fill my mind with God's thoughts. That's what biblical meditation is all about. In the Old Testament, where meditation is referred to most often, there are two different Hebrew words. One is siach, which means to go over in one's mind. For example, Psalm 77:12, I will meditate on all thy works. 119:15, I will meditate on thy precepts. 119:97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation. That's the word that is used. You go over the law of God in your mind, and if you go over the law of God in your mind and heart, that is meditation. But there's a second Hebrew word for meditation, and that is haga, and that's the word that is used here. It means to go over in one's mind, but to do so even with a sense of passion. It means that there is a longing in the mind, that there is a thirst in the mind. And it is also the same word that is used in Psalm 1, that the person who meditates in the law of God day and night shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does prospers. Interestingly, this word for meditation is oftentimes associated with speaking. Notice that the text says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. It's the same word for meditation that is used in Psalm 19. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. The words that come out of our mouths should be God's words. It should be the word of God in harmony with what is happening within our hearts as people, as we meditate on the law of God. All that, by the way, is preliminary to what I have to say now. And that is, how do you meditate? How do you meditate? Is it true, as some of us grew up in Sunday school, is it really true that a chapter a day keeps the devil away? Is it really true that all that you need to do is to take your Bible and read it? Now, that would be an improvement. I read this past week that some wag said that the greatest dust storm in America would take place if all Christians dusted off their Bibles simultaneously. Because only about 9% of all Christians actually read the Word of God every day. If I were the devil, which is another way of saying if I were Lucifer instead of Lutzer, what I would do is I would create such roadblocks toward meditation in the Word that nobody would do it. I would cause the mind to be so filled with anxiety because of the concerns of the day. I would cause there to be such a sense of stress, a wandering of the mind, a struggle of the mind. I would try to make people bored with God's holy word. I would try to do everything that I possibly could to keep people from this book, particularly those who may be in real satanic conflict. I would do all that I possibly could to make the word of God uninviting. And that's what the devil does. And that's where discipline comes in. And that's where you begin to say, my life is going to be different because I'm going to give 15 minutes to meditation in the Word of God every single day, considering it as important as eating or drinking or anything else, because what I want to do is to see the transformation of the Word. And look at what the text says. Then thou shalt have success. Success. Then you will find that transformation of heart that is brought about so that you can endure all of the trials of life, and to do so, despite the hurt and the pain, to do so with a sense of confidence. Then you can look at your Jericho without wilting, without thinking that there's no way that I can overcome it, because even Jerichos become smaller when they are compared with God. How do I meditate? Three words, and I want you to write them down. Don't ever forget them. If I meet you and ask what the three words are, I expect you to tell me. In fact, that could be kind of a password. We could have all the ushers next week stand and say, do you remember the three words? If not, you can't come to church today. Wouldn't that go over well? But are you ready for the three words? Thank you for telling me. The answer is yes. Number one, analyze. Analyze. What do I mean by analyze? If all that you do is read the Bible, you get to the end of the chapter, you put it away, you come back the next day, you have no idea whether or not you read this chapter or not, you're halfway through it, something catches you that says, yeah, I guess I read this yesterday, come to think of it. Now that's better than nothing, because when water goes through a sieve, even though the water doesn't stay in the sieve, it cleans the sieve. It does something, but that's not meditation in the Word. What do I mean by analyze? You come and you ask the text three questions. You ask the text three questions. The first question is, what does it teach me about God? What new insight do I glean about God? Secondly, what does it tell me to do? And thirdly, is there a promise here that I have to believe and hang on to?
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and you're certainly going to have to listen to Running to Win next time to hear the end of this message to give you more guidance in your meditation and study of the Scriptures. I want to thank the many of you who support this ministry, and I want to share with you that this is one of the last days we're making a very special offer available to you. Any gift that you give will be doubled. This is the time for our matching gift challenge. And I want to thank the many of you who have already connected with us. And there are others, perhaps you are praying about it, you're thinking about it. Thank you in advance for helping us. Remember also that at the end of this month, it's really the end of our fiscal year. We'd like to be able to end strong, so that as we continue this ministry, it can not only continue, but also expand, even as we continue to reach the world in 50 different countries, 7 different languages.
Getting something fresh from God every day. That's the key to a vital, faith-building relationship with God. Next time, some closing thoughts on meditation. Your gift to Running to Win is appreciated and can be doubled during this month. Help us take advantage of the matching gift campaign by calling 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Pastor Irwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.